Morning.
Right, well, the first slide I think you actually did for me by the introduction, so I'll point that way, just so I remember to. I'm Nathan Downey from the TSA, and indeed my colleagues in front of me are actually have one of the little stands out in the back room there with all the others, so hopefully you can go and see everybody later on. For me, it's far more about how enabling technology can play a role in enriching everyday life. So yes, there's lots of technology you'll see today, but it's very much around personalised outcomes. What is it we want to achieve? What do people want to achieve for themselves? And what's the thing that technology can do for people? And indeed, no two people are the same, as I'm sure you've experienced. So TSA for itself is split into two as of beginning of 2018. So we have a membership organisation that focuses on lobbying, influencing, has numerous events, including partnering with events such as these, to try and get a better awareness of the role technology can play in whether you are a commissioner of services, whether you're providing care services, whether indeed you want to give information and advice to the wider public about where they can find these sorts of things for themselves. And on the other side is tech quality. Very much part of this is about making sure the services you provide where you use technology have that quality and safety badge behind it, that you are thinking about the role that technology plays from an outcomes point of view rather than being technology led, and indeed that is an ethical way of delivering that support through technology. One of the things we did last year when working in partnership with Think Local, Act Personal and ADAS was release a publication called Tech Stories. Hopefully, if my colleagues have got the boxes, they'll be on the stand for you to have a look at. A number of stories where people tell their everyday lives, their stories, and then a little bit around the technology. This isn't about somebody saying, I use this particular gadget, look what it does. It's somebody saying, this is my life, and I have a bit of technology to support me, I have some community networks, I have friends, family, etc. So the crucial part of this is people telling their stories. The example being Colin, 19-year-old lad with profound disabilities, but wanting to be like any other 19-year-old, wanting to interact, wanting to use systems at home to be able to interact with the wider community if he's not physically able to be there. People like Sam, struggling with mental health needs, really in her own words, and the videos on our website will tell the stories. People saying actually they don't know if they can carry on living the way they are, using simple apps that help her around managing anxieties in the community, getting worried about travelling on a bus and what happens, and having her own coping strategies to know when to interact. It could be playing a piece of music, it could be asking the driver to remind them what stop to get off. And people like Albert, who's managed to live at home for 2.5 years, using different types of technology, mainly to connect with family and friends, wherever they are in the world, to be able to feel that he's interacting, he's connected. And that's managed for him to stay at home for 2.5 years rather than being in a care environment. One of the things clearly we want to take forward and what we'll be releasing in November is a similar publication but very much focused on care homes. What can technology do to support people and indeed support those of you that are either providing care, those of you that are managing care homes? How can that provide people support? And very much stories around some of the more lower tech things. We saw Arnie earlier. Things like virtual reality glasses that support older people to interact with younger children. So a great example from Wales in Gwent, where people are using virtual reality to be able to interact on an Easter bonnet parade, and equally getting the children from schools into that care home to interact with them. On the back of that, they've seen a reduction in antipsychotic medication. They've seen a reduction in 29% of ambulance call-outs. Again, that's not just because of the technology, but clearly it's playing a role in helping people to feel more connected, being more autonomous, and obviously helping to defer escalation of need. An example from Bradford in a care home using MemoRide. So I don't know if anybody's heard about MemoRide. So it's an exercise bike with a giant screen in front of them. Forgive me if I'm not being technical enough. But basically allows people to cycle down where the roads that they're familiar with to their local villages where they used to be. That equally obviously allows them to be more fit, more active, better night's sleep, less agitated, and they happen to have that reminiscent side of things. So this is about technology that is right for the individual. It isn't necessarily a one-size-fits-all. And yet technology is everywhere in our lives. So again, as you start to interact more and more with friends, families, in your own personal lives, in your professional lives, the technology is all around us. And it isn't about saying, let's just take these three things and see where to put them. It's got to be about an outcomes-led approach. And that pretty diagram that you can probably read at your leisure is very much around technology isn't just about at the point of crisis, or indeed at the point of where somebody is living well in a care environment, with the average length of stay being around 30 months. It's also about how do we support the very people that might be their family members to start to think about how they use technology in their own lives earlier in the piece. For those of you that any of you that have got a Fitbit on or an Apple Watch and looking at your steps, again, they're the sorts of things that if you're interacting with that, how do we start to take that more into people when they're thinking about later life? And indeed, their expectations of how they interact with you and your services are starting to become more and more technology-driven, dare I say it, still outcomes-led, but people will have an expectation that they use things in everyday life. We will see all of the different insurance companies asking us to buy into an insurance policy and probably getting a free Apple Watch, and then they can see how many steps we're doing, how active we are, and therefore if your insurance policy will go up or down next year based on your activity. The top one for me is one of the most crucial ones, inactivity monitoring and hydration. We're not necessarily using technology to focus and spy on people to see exactly what they're doing, but if we can start to understand how active somebody is, how often they may be going to the bathroom without necessarily having that, the intrusion of having somebody always watching, is that helping us to understand ahead of crisis point when something's about to happen? Using technology to help us understand when to take a step forward, but equally when it's safe to take a step back, and the data telling us the story behind it. We sit in a world where we've all got huge amounts of data, and I think it's fair to say, certainly from my view, the whole of, I guess, the public sector, local government has been very data-rich but very intelligence-poor over the years. It hasn't necessarily been our role to understand what's going on with the data. Indeed, we're having to report data into people, not necessarily having to say what we're doing about it. Yet systems allow us to understand which are the things we need to focus on as staff. Which are the things, so is it about somebody being able to sitting in a chair for 3 or 4 hours and not moving? Yeah, actually, we think everything's okay. The technology telling us that actually we could give somebody a prompt or indeed make sure a worker knows when to go in. So to get this right, it isn't technology-led. It has to be outcomes-driven. So how do you change that culture so that people feel that they've got a role to play? They don't feel that technology is taking over their roles, that we won't need any staff anymore because technology is going to do everything for us. You know, the advent of the robots coming and doing it. You know, this is clearly about a supporting tool, an enabling tool. It's not about technology or staff. That quality is at the heart of it. So Tech Quality as a UCAS accredited organisation, providing that quality standards framework to those that might deliver the solutions, those that might deliver services, those that might deliver care and technology together. And laying those foundations that people do really focus on the individual. They focus on what outcomes that person want to achieve, what do their family want to achieve, what is the role for technology. For some, it will work very well. For others, it won't necessarily work as well. Again, it's not one size fits all. Let's give everybody X or Y. And I'm hoping when you have talking to very people outside and the different stands, they'll have exactly the same messages as they, in their roles, talk to people about what is it you want to achieve and indeed what can their technology do. And I would urge you to not only just talk to them, but also challenge them to understand what is it they think they can do for the very people you support, and then look at what technology they can offer rather than let's have a look at your latest technology and then think about where we can place it. And clear leadership. You know, this is about how do you work in partnership with your commissioners if you are providing services, for everybody to understand what's the role technology can play alongside community assets, and certainly the partnership approach. This isn't about one organisation leading the way and everybody else being told what to do. This has to be collaborative. It has to be understanding what's in it for me. If you own a care home or if you're a manager of a service, what is it really going to do for you? Yes, there's an angle of us around technology to help you make your services more effective and efficient, using the best systems to understand where staff need to be and when people need to be trained on certain quality aspects or medication reviews, etc. But equally, how technology can support the whole system in terms of doing remote medication checks from a GP point of view, or out-of-hours consultations, as well as people using technology to know that they are safe to move around the facility, safe to go out and about in the community or indeed into the grounds of your care homes, with some technology to alert staff when there's an issue rather than providing care just in case. And from a plug point of view, always got to end with a plug. So we too have our conference, which is in a few weeks' time in Birmingham, where you'll see a lot of technology, but most importantly, you'll see people talking about that citizen-driven approach, people talking about what made a difference to them. Some of the people you hear and see today will be able to talk about what it means to them, what they've achieved, but most importantly, asking questions, saying, well, actually, what is it you're looking to do? How can you achieve this together? And indeed, we'd welcome anybody that wants to know more information about that at the back. And for me to stop talking, hopefully, and move on, I would like to, as I said, to introduce Jerry, just to talk about that personal story, about how he's interacted with his dad, the role that technology is playing in helping to connect the family, but hopefully we'll also finish early enough for a couple of questions at the end, depending on how well I'm doing on the time. Good.
Great, thank you. Thank you very much, Nathan. So my name's Jerry Hodgson. I'm the CEO of Cascade 3D. We're an analytics business. And what I've found incredible about this whole journey is as our family, I've ended up with a personal story because we're data and we're tech guys. We love digging around in information. And then all of a sudden you realize that actually it's your family that's part of this whole process. So try not to get too emotional. As I was hoping that we would actually get to talk to Dad, but he's only gone out. He's not been stuck in home. So what's happened over the years? So we started looking at the Internet of Things as the data, as these new technologies became available about 5 years ago. And prior to that, my background's actually in sports science. So I'm very interested in how we use exercise originally as part of elite performance. But as you can see with this new hairstyle that I'm grooming at the moment, as age has crept on, actually making sure that I keep fit, but how that has actually impacted on my parents as they've become more elderly. So Dad is 93, he's sort of put the whole family through all of this journey that we're on. My sister, she lives just around the corner, and you don't realize that in the end, she's trying to hold down her job. She's got a family, a husband to look after. Likewise, I'm trying to run a business. I've got my son to run about. My wife likes me to do some of the chores as well. And so you've got all that going on. And then all of a sudden, you realize that your parents are getting older and older, and they're becoming more and more frail. And, the next thing, my sister, it was just in the lead up to Christmas, she had an absolute meltdown. She said, I just can't deal with him anymore, the miserable old goat. He doesn't appreciate anything that I do. I'm coming around trying to do the meals for him. And she said, I just can't do it anymore. And that's when you realize that the whole support network that all of you provide to families like ours is so important. We needed domiciliary care. We needed care agencies to come and help, not necessarily just to support the family, but to, my dad and my mum at the time. But how did they actually support my sister? Because she was taking the brunt of it. And I thought, well, we're looking at all this Internet of Things. How can I, as her brother, as a younger brother, who, by the way, hasn't got a clue about anything. If you've got an elder sister, you'll know what I'm talking about. How can I use technology to help try and take some of that load as well? I don't live anywhere near Dad. I'm about 2 hours away. And thankfully, technology is there. First off, it was just about knowing I'd ring and there's no answer. Crikey, I wonder where Dad is. I wonder if he's fallen over. And actually, he's in the loo and the phone's going off. And he thinks, oh, that's my son. Or somebody's ringing. I better hurry up because what's going to happen? Slips, trips and falls just waiting between him and the toilet and the phone. So actually what the great idea would be is using some of the Internet of Things technologies, how can we have a sensor? Not to see him, absolutely not. It's about dignity, personalization, respect. That we just had a little motion sensor in the room that could tell me he's in the bathroom, give him a break, let him go to the toilet, ring him later. And so that whole anxiety can be taken care of on both sides. I know where he is, I know he's okay. And so those sensors roll out, and actually what you'll see here today, there's a raft of technology. There's a lot of companies that are creating some fantastic ideas, and our role is to see how we can integrate those technologies, the data that you have already. And that's a major part of what we look to do is you've got information and there's great tech. How do we make it work together in a very personal way? And just ask, would you be able to switch over to that screen? I just want to show you how that dashboard kind of works. You'll see a couple of screens here because what's important, especially for you, is that there's two sets of data that we're really interested about. how is the person actually getting on? What's the behaviours? Are there behaviour change? And that's, you know, me, I can step over there and start saying I want to look at the data, and behaviour change is something that we're very interested in. And that box on the top left there is giving that information about how a person is actually getting on. And you'll see there's not much activity actually in here. The chart below is showing data feeds that are coming from the home real time. You know, has the fridge been opened today? Has the medication been taken? So while people are at home, but also what we've really found out is that as he's moved into a care home now, that we as a family feel more isolated. It was brilliant when he was at home. I had sensors all around it. Now he has his room with an ensuite bathroom. But how can I still feel connected to him? And I, you know, I don't really want to ring reception. Everyone's super busy. And over time, he's just forgotten how to be able to use a phone. And in the mobile phone that he has, he always wants it turned off in case the battery runs out. So you can't get hold of him. And all of a sudden, the family feels more disconnected, even so he's in a safe environment. But we've lost touch with each other. Importantly as well, for many of you, is around the vital signs. And so integration with a lot of the readings that have been taken, you know, blood pressure, blood glucose, sugars, and all of those sorts of things can be part of that holistic view of the information. And you get the data feeds. But I brought along Alexa. Now, as I say, I was hoping Alexa show the video, because what's so important is that people can see each other, you know, and that's why we come to events like this. We can actually meet and see. And for the families, you know, for Dad, when he gets anxious, if he can just try and speak to me and see me, it makes a massive difference, you know, for both of us. And the other great thing about Alexa, so Echo, what I've called her Echo, by the way, because every time you say Alexa, it will be jumping in. Echo. What day is it?
Today is Wednesday, the 25th of September.
And it doesn't matter how many times you forget, you can ask, and she's always polite, and she's always kind, and you can ask for jokes and things like that. So it's absolutely brilliant that as you start to get a little bit, Echo? Echo? What day is it?
Today is Wednesday, the 25th of September.
As you become a little bit more forgetful, then you've got somebody there you can speak to. And what he did say when my mum passed away is, what's really nice is there's still a voice in the house. I can, and most of the time she doesn't know what I'm talking about, but that doesn't matter. There's somebody to speak to. And there are things like, oh, Echo, what am I doing tomorrow?
Tomorrow there are three events. At 10 a.m. there's exercise to music in the village lounge. You will like that, and it will help strengthen your legs and knees. At 11:30 a.m. there's England play USA in the Rugby World Cup. It will be great to watch the match with Eric in the pub. At 2:30 p.m. there's your favourite singing with Kathy in the treetop lounge. She gets everyone to join in.
So mostly he can't remember that. And he told me when I went to see him at the weekend, he said, oh, Paul was actually doing a little sing-along thing with all the residents in the afternoon. He said, oh, Kathy's much nicer. She gets everyone. And then I said to him last night, I said, oh, obviously it'll be Thursday, Kathy's coming. You really like Kathy coming? Oh, do I? And suddenly you realise that actually through the messages there of looking at what the programme is that the care home's running, that actually can help him remember why he wants to go. So he's got my legs are sore, and he said to me, oh, I need to go and get a gym membership. I mean, he can barely walk from the bed to the, you know, to his chair. But I need a gym membership. I've got to strengthen my legs. Well, actually, there are activity programmes going on. And he's got, you know, he said, oh, I need to, you know, do something about my knees. Will join in, but he can't remember, and he just can't remember to ask to go and join in. You know, so those types of things I found have been really, really incredible. I didn't know anything about care rooms, and I think what Dad's trying to do is to put us as a family, and certainly me from a technology point, through every single scenario that he can think of. And in fact, his favourite, or my favourite story about his use of Alexa was it was about a year ago. When he was at home, he went into the bathroom and there was water leak all under the basin. And of course, he still thought that, you know, I can I've done all the DIY before, no problem with this. Got down onto the floor and he's all soaking wet, and then he realised he couldn't get back up again. And he's struggling. I don't need a pendant. Right? You know, I've always looked after myself. I've been in the trenches, and you know, at that age he has. He won't wear a pendant. And all of a sudden he's on the floor, he can't move, he's in pain. And the only thing he could think of is, Alexa, I'll do it here, Echo, can you hear me?
Yes, I'm here. I listen when you press the mic button.
I mean, that's amazing. He'd been on the floor for 2 hours in the soaking wet. He was so sore. He didn't have a phone. He didn't have any other way of getting up, but he thought of doing that. And he said, oh, well, can you ring Jerry and tell him I'm in a bit of bother? So Alexa raised the call through to me, and then I was able to call my sister. Fortunately, she lives around the corner, or at least we could have some way of getting a responder to come and help. But what's so important is for this technology to be part of our lives and part of people's lives before they get too old to understand. So now he can't remember much, but he does know how to get Alexa to call me at 4 o'clock in the morning. So, you know, and he gets anxious about things. So, you know, that's been, you know, a really, really important part of our learning is to get the technology introduced and to see then, you know, how we can adopt this. And it's down to us, you know, as professionals within the industry, to look at this type of technology and to look at different ways that we can use it and blend it together with, as I said before, so many great ideas, so many great innovations that we see within the industry, bring it together to provide that really personalised plan to be able to respond to particular needs, and also for the family. You know, that is so important. When we introduced the system, of course, he's moved into the care home. They don't know me from anyone else. And I went to see the care home manager and said, you know, I'd like to put these sensors in. I don't know what the staff are going to think of that. You know, straight away, there's a defensive thing around how is this technology going to impact on the working lives of people? And that's so important. Well, I said, look, one of the things that he says, for him, my sisters went away on holiday for a week. And so she left Saturday. Sunday, I spoke to him. I don't know where your sister is. She's been gone a week. So it's only one day. And likewise, the next day, Sunday, she's been gone 2 weeks now. I don't know what she's doing. Why on earth has she gone on holiday? But you see, for him, the perception of time is completely different from reality. And what we found that what the care home was saying is that people would ring and say, you know, I've just spoken to Mum. She says nobody's been to see her. And actually, the sensor technology can support and help the family see on the dashboards, yes, somebody's been in every hour through the night to check that she was okay. That you know, he's actually out of the room at the moment, so no wonder you can't actually speak to them. So a lot of the time, the staff are disconnected from what's happening and feel they need to ring. That actually uses up more staff time. And so I think there's a brilliant opportunity there for us to integrate this into the way that families can feel much, much more part of the service. That connection through devices like Alexa. Thank you very much. It's been great to talk to you about that.